Good evening, everybody. If you'd like to be seated. I want to say a very warm word of welcome to everyone for our service for Monday in Holy Week. And we want to say a special hello to everyone who is tuning in online for our service this evening. If you're new to Holy Week, it's a very special week where Christians right across the world engage with the events in the last week of Jesus' life on earth. We think about his death, and ultimately we celebrate his resurrection. And we're delighted this week to have Dr. Stephen Rogers leading our devotions. Stephen, you're very welcome indeed. From Monday to Thursday, Stephen will be leading us as we think about the healing power of the cross. Stephen is a pastor at Kingsway Church in Dunmurry. He's a GP. He has a particular interest in mental health, and he's involved in divine healing ministries as well. So we're delighted that he's with us to lead us in our devotions from Monday through to Thursday. And as we gather this evening on this Monday in Holy Week, we're very conscious that COVID-19 hasn't gone away and infection rates do remain high in the community, but we're also conscious and we're delighted that restrictions have been lifting. But we know that many people over these past couple of years have suffered terribly during these past years with bereavements, isolation, sickness. And at the end of our service this evening, there will be an opportunity for you if you would like prayer for healing in your life or in the life of someone that you love. And there will be the opportunity to have somebody pray with you if you come to the sanctuary at the end of the service. At either end of the communion rails, there'll be somebody who'd be glad to pray with you. Or if you'd like to make your way to the side aisle here on my left, there'll be somebody who would be glad to pray with you. Our liturgy this evening will come from our former bishop, Bishop Harold's book, The Week of All Weeks, and it will appear on the screen as we make our way through this service for Monday of Holy Week. So we're going to be beginning with the greeting, if you'd like to stand. May the grace, healing, and forgiveness of the Lord be with you this Holy Week.
And also with you.
And we pray together, O Saviour of the world, O Saviour of the world, by your cross and your precious blood, you have redeemed us. Save us and help us, we humbly pray. Amen. And so we gather together this evening to continue our journey with the Lord through this Holy Week of our salvation. And the Monday in Holy Week is the day on which we remember Jesus overturning the table of the money changers in the temple precincts. And this is a reminder to us that God's house is always to essentially be a house of prayer. And so we ask this evening God to give us pure hearts, devoted to him, that his voice may be clearly heard, and that our priorities this week would be the priorities of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing together our opening hymn, There is a Wideness in God's Mercy.
Mercy.
And so we turn our hearts to God in penitence and we join in the responses. Lord God, you sent your Son to reconcile us to yourself and one another. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Holy Spirit, through you we put to death the sins of the body and live. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We pray together, Jesus, Lamb of God, Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, redeemer of the world, grant us peace. And our special collect prayer for the Monday in Holy Week. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of his cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm appointed for this evening's service is Psalm 36, verses 5 to 11, and we ask you to join in the responses in bold. Your love. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness stands like the strong mountains, your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, shall save both man and beast. How precious is your loving mercy, O God! All mortal flesh shall take refuge under the shadow of your wings. They shall be satisfied with the abundance of your house. They shall drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the well of life, and in your light shall we see light.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
O continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to those who are true of heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, nor the hand of the ungodly thrust me away.
Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the clouds.
And if you'd like to be seated for our Bible reading.
Our Bible reading is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, starting at verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
We're going to respond to our Bible reading as we sing the song of Christ's glory.
Please be seated. Thank you very much. Yes. Good. I must say I really appreciate the opportunity and the trust expressed by your rector, Reverend Pierce, to invite me to attend this week of weeks series. And not only am I going to share tonight, but he's trusting me to share for 4 nights in a row, and I'm hoping that everything will connect with each evening, each talk, and it reminds me of a preacher I used to respect a lot. It said about him, he preached everywhere once, but I get to preach 4 times in a row. But I'm really delighted with the subject, the healing power of the cross. I appreciated you introducing me earlier on. I have a real interest in the well-being and the health of people. But actually, as human beings, we're all touched by the difficulties and the challenges that people have in the area of all kinds of health problems, whether it's physical health, and we've mentioned the COVID pandemic. I'm also very concerned about mental health. For me, the real pandemic is mental health problems. I'm also concerned about social problems, the breakdown in relationships and its effect on people. The Royal College of GPs recently declared loneliness an epidemic. And we see all kinds of spiritual suffering due to the fact that our relationship with God needs to be restored. And all across the globe, there are macro and major problems affecting people's well-being and health, not to mention least war and rumors of war, and very much in our minds, we're thinking about Ukraine and Russia. Let's not forget Myanmar. Let's not forget Yemen. Let's not forget the stranger across the street who's suffering. And one of my thoughts, one of my connecting thoughts tonight and over these days is, does God have a concern for the suffering of humanity? Does God have a concern for the problems of this world that is full of good things, remnant of how it was originally, but we see all kinds of difficulties and problems. And I really believe God has made an intervention through the cross, through Christ crucified and risen from the dead. I heard a story, this is not from Scripture, it's a made-up story, but it was probably, there were representatives of humanity, and they were complaining, what right had God to judge us? What right has God to have a say? What does he know about difficulties and problems and suffering? And in this story, the Lord said something along the lines, what would it take to show you and convince you that I really do understand the brokenness of humanity and the desperate plight of mankind? Well, first of all, you would have to become one of us. You would have to be born vulnerable as a baby. In fact, you would need to be born in a country that was under oppression, maybe by, say, for example, the Romans. And you would have to be born in obscurity, and the legitimacy of your birth would be doubted. Perhaps you would lose your father at a young age. And then at the peak of your life, service and ministry, even though you were completely innocent, that you would be betrayed by your best friends. And then you would suffer a violent, embarrassing, shameful death, maybe, for example, on the cross. And of course, the penny drops, and we realize that this marvelous God who knows us and loves us became man, and that is his journey. And his journey on earth completed with Christ crucified. But you know, I want to say this, Jesus being crucified on the cross was not just God showing us he cares. It wasn't the death of a martyr, a good example. Actually, it was God's masterpiece, because the scripture tells us that Christ crucified on the cross was the wisdom of God. It was the power of God, and it was the most significant act in history. And just for the remaining few minutes of this devotional, by God's grace, I would like to hopefully unpack something of the richness of the cross and Christ crucified that will give us hope that there can be healing in every kind of area. The first thing I would say is this. I don't know if you remember being at school studying history. If you go to a British school, you'll know all about British history. And what seems to be important is all the things that are relevant to Britain. If you go to an Irish school, it's Irish history, and you know all about Irish history. If you go to a non-English speaking school, you might learn about Spanish history. You might be like a friend of mine in our home church who has searched out his ancestry and has discovered that he's connected to William Wallace. When you think of history, what are the highlights of history? You might say it was the pyramids of Egypt. You might say it was the fall of Rome. You might say it was 1690. But in God's perspective, the most significant act in history took place around about 2,000 years ago, 4,000 miles away, when Jesus Christ died on the cross. That was a watershed. Nothing before the cross was equal to that, and nothing since the cross historically is equal to the cross of Christ. When you actually look at the Gospels, and we've had a reading this evening, from the Gospels, there's so much material in the Gospels about Jesus' last 3 years, very little before that. And out of the material in the Gospels, there's more about the last week than the first 3 years of his life. And within the last week, it was the last day. And there's so much material even about his last hours when he was crucified. The Holy Spirit is getting our attention that there's something more rich and wide and powerful and wise about the cross than we would think in the natural. And I just want to say two more things, and I would like to suggest I can unpack some of these things in some of the future evenings together. I think we need to ask two questions about the cross, two good questions that will help us realize the richness and the wisdom and the power that's in the cross. And the first question is this: who died on the cross? You know, it's interesting, many people died on crosses. It was quite a common form of execution for a criminal during that time. In fact, when Jesus died on the cross, there were two other crosses, one on either side. So there's nothing special about the cross in that sense. It's who died on the cross. Who was he? And I'm reminded of a story in the Gospels. Do you remember that story, Matthew 16? One day Jesus says to his disciples, perhaps we can imagine ourselves there, and they've seen the miracles, they've heard the teaching, they've seen the healings, they've seen him going around doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil because God was with them. And he says, who do men say that I am? And some say, good teacher. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist, come back to life. And then Jesus asked them a very direct question, looked them in the eye, and he said, never mind what everybody's saying about me. Who do you say I am? And Peter had a revelation. Peter's eyes were opened. The Father in heaven opened his eyes to see who he was. You're the Messiah. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. In the same way, who is it on the cross? No one, it's not a teacher, it's not a prophet, it's not a good person, it's not a martyr, it's the Son of the living God who died on the cross. Jesus did not die between two candlesticks in a cathedral. He died at a place called the Skull, between two criminals. Very few people realized who it was and what was happening, but it was Christ crucified. The wisdom of God and the power of God, the salvation to anyone who will believe, anyone who'll trust him. But the second question is this: for whom did he die on the cross? It was for us. It was for you and it was for me. It was for people who were broken, people who had sinned, people who had failed. I don't know if you've ever heard the phrase, don't take this personally, but. I want to say something about Christ crucified on the cross. Take it personally. It was for us. It was for me. This is personal. This is real. I think of the Apostle Paul, who talked about, he said like this, my gospel. Paul, what do you mean your gospel? It's our gospel. It's God's gospel. It's the gospel for the whole world. It's the gospel of Christ. And it's almost like Paul would say, just, I know that's theologically, doctrinally true, but for me, this is personal. Because he died for my sins, and I know what my sins were. I was a blasphemer, a persecutor. I got up in the morning to destroy his people, and he died for me. It's personal. And it's the power of God for salvation to anyone who takes it personally and applies it to his heart. For whom did he die? For whom did he shed blood? For who did he love? It's okay to say, me. And that's why I encourage people, come to the Lord. Come to the Lord for mercy. It's wide. Come to the cross. Come for a new start. Come for a new beginning. Come for grace. Come for a touch from the Lord. My final thought was, did you notice in that little story that was read from John 12? 6 days before the Passover. I mean, this is, within a week, the most significant thing in history is about to happen. The Son of God is going to be crucified. He's going to deal a death blow to the powers of darkness. And what is he doing? He's in a little house outside Jerusalem having a meal with his friends. And Lazarus is there, and Mary's there, and she does a crazy act of devotion. Come on. That wouldn't be on Facebook. That wouldn't be in Twitter. That's a small, insignificant thing. But that's how personal this Jesus is. That's how real this Christianity is. He loves Martha's. He loves Mary's. He loves Lazarus's. And he loves you. And he loves me. And we're talking about that little house group today, 2,000 years later. Something significant can happen when something appears small and insignificant, because that's the nature of our Lord, that's the nature of our Christ. So please keep coming, keep listening in, and expect the Lord to encourage you in these days and to meet you, to bring healing and relief to you. My final sentence is this, and I love this. To create the universe, all God had to do was speak. Light be. Galaxies be. Moon, stars, black holes be. But to heal us, to forgive us, to reconcile us, to redeem us, he had to shed blood. But he's done that. He's not going to die for you. He's already died for you. He's not going to rise from the dead, and we'll somebody's coming. We'll hold back that aspect of celebration, because it's good to reflect on the wisdom and the power and the centrality of Christ crucified for us. Amen.
So as we allow Stephen's words, anointed by God, to sink into our being, the choir are going to lead our response as they sing the anthem, Lead Me, Lord.
Thank you.
Now let's stand and make our collective response as we sing together the hymn, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found." And so we do stay standing as together we're going to join in an affirmation of faith together. Christ suffered for us. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips. When he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he trusted himself to God who judges justly. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
By his wounds we have been healed, for we were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls.
Let us pray. As we pray this evening, you'll find the prayers and responses are on the screen in front of you. Let us bring to our Father our prayers of intercession through Christ, who gave himself for the life of the world. For forgiveness of the many times we have denied Jesus, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For grace to seek out those habits of sin which mean spiritual death, and by prayer and self-discipline to overcome them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For Christian people, that through the suffering of disunity, there may grow a rich union in Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who make laws, interpret them, and administer them, that our common life may be ordered in justice and mercy, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who still make Jerusalem a battleground, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who have the courage and honesty to work openly for justice and peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those in the darkness and agony of isolation, that they may find support and encouragement, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who, weighed down with hardship, failure, or sorrow, feel that God is far from them, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those who are tempted to give up the way of the cross, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That we, with those who have died in faith, may find mercy in the day of Christ, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. We continue our prayers with the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing together. Take my life and let it be.
Thank you.
Thank you to everybody for sharing in our service with us this evening, and thank you to Stephen for sharing God's word with us also. Just to remind everybody that our Holy Week services continue tomorrow evening at 7:30 as we continue this journey with Jesus towards the cross. And also just one final reminder that if you would like prayer for healing in your life or in the life of someone you love, either make your way to the sanctuary at the end of the service or to the side aisle over on my left, and someone would be glad to pray with you. We're going to bow our heads for God's blessing, and as we send everybody into the world, we remind ourselves, may Christ draw you to himself and grant that you find in his cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this night and forevermore. Amen. Amen.